Brother Chet Reams. I just thought that we were praying. If you'd ever meet Chet, Chet's a really tall young man and seen walking through town a lot, and he lives in town and works at Taco Bell and different places, the library and a copy shop sometimes. And Chet's an accomplished comic book editor, and he just is. That's his. He has some autistic issues, and he just is with comic books. He's edited them. He's published his own interviews with people and stuff. But he loves Jesus, and comes to our prayer breakfast for years, and would pray for the music industry. So when Kanye West Chet was on cloud 11, you know, he'd been praying for these people to be saved. And so today Chet sent me a message before church about some leader of a satanic church in South Africa who resigned his position, and because he said, I found Jesus, and he said, I wanted to do it kind of quietly so I wouldn't make a hush, but now it's just everywhere. And so Chet was he's on cloud 13 today, okay, about this fellow got saved. If you have your Bible, let's turn to Revelation chapter 12. And I'm grateful when people's burdens are answered from prayer. Amen. What a blessing. And if you've been praying for someone and they got saved, oh, what a rejoicing. The angels rejoice, so we get to down here. Revelation chapter 12 is where we're at, and we're still in the these middle chapters are kind of, parenthetical, maybe you could say. They deal with times on both ends of it, but we're right around the midpoint of the tribulation, and we've seen that in chapter 11 with some of those dates and times of 42 months, 1260 days, times and a half a time, we'll see in chapter 12. And so we'll just read a few verses of chapter 12, and there's plenty of things to talk about in these first few verses. It says, there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. She, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. There appeared another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, did cast them to the earth, and the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had the place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. Okay, well, let's be seated. We'll pray one more time. Lord, bless your word as we read it. I know there's a promised blessing just to hear the book Revelation, so pray that we would receive something of that nature. And then, Lord, if we get nothing, I sure pray that you'd be pleased with us gathered around your table and uplifting the name of Jesus and studying your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Okay, Revelation 12. Who are these wonders in heaven? What are the signs? What are they trying to tell us? And what does it refer to? I do think it's important that 1,260 days to 1,203 score days, that's 3.5 years. And so just to get you the same frame of mind, whenever a Revelation 4 happens, when the trumpet sounds, and we believe the church leaves the ground raptured, that will signal the beginning of the last 7 years of Daniel's prophecy. And so 7 years, half of 7 years would be 3.5, 1,260 days, 42 months. So it seems that this chapter 11 and 12, 10, 11 and 12, these areas here are dealing with what's right in the middle of this week. Why is it important? Because the middle of the week is even prophesied in Daniel chapter 9. That middle of the week is when the abomination of desolation takes place. It's when the prince that is there is what we would realize, Israel would realize, is not the Messiah. It's talked about in Matthew when Jesus was giving us the signs of his coming. And he mentions again about that abomination spoken of in Daniel right in the middle of this week of prophecy that Daniel had. So, Revelation 12, here are some details of it. In verse number 1, it seems that John is back in heaven. In chapter 11, he was measuring a temple that was in Jerusalem. Well, that one is on the earth, and he gave us details about the temple. We studied all that, and I told you wrong and told you right. Amen? And so we're learning as we go on where that thing might be at. In chapter 12, it's now back in heaven. It says, there's a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried in birth and pain to be delivered. So it's this picture in heaven, and who is it picturing? Well, there's a woman. Okay, so what does the woman represent? Well, because she's having a child, some people think that's Mary. Mary had a child. That's who had a child. Others would maybe point to her being the church, because we know the church is pictured as a woman. In the book of Ephesians, the verses we have about husbands and wife is really a mystery, because it speaks about Christ and the church. And then, you know, maybe it's Israel, okay? I think it's Israel, and I'll show you why. And maybe I can show you why because of who it's not. So, first of all, I don't think it's the church, because notice that she's travailing in birth and she's having pains to deliver, and the devil is right there ready to devour the child as soon as it was born. If this woman is the church, well, number one, what baby did the church have? And who would the father be of the church? Because go with me a couple of verses. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Hold your place here. And then we'll look at Ephesians 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Paul calls the church of Corinthians an interesting description. And I think it'll help us just to... You know, have you ever taken a multiple choice test and you didn't know the answer, but you knew it wasn't this answer, and you're like, okay, let's cross that one out, and now we got a better chance of guessing. Okay, can't be that one. Let's cross that one out. That's why I took my ACT test, amen, just to figure out which ones it wasn't and help you out. I think we can do that with this as well. 2 Corinthians 11, if you're there, look at verse 1 and 2. The Bible says, verse 1, would to God you would bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, this is Paul talking to the church, that I may present you as a what? Chaste virgin to Christ. Well, we're in the early service, the mature service, okay? That means that there's no baby involved. Y'all say amen? That can't be. And so the picture here is the church is a virgin, a chaste or pure virgin that's espoused to Christ. Ephesians 5 gives us that as well. Ephesians 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify, cleanse it with the washing of the water of the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Going down to verse 30, verse 31. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. So Ephesians says that the church is going to be presented unto Christ. That's the parallel. Corinthians says hey, I've been praying that you'll be you'll be presented to Christ as a chaste virgin. And then Revelation 19 gives you the picture of the marriage between Christ and his wife who hath made herself ready with the righteousness of the saints. So we picture that the church is the bride of Christ. So I don't think that Revelation 12 is talking about the church having a baby that the devil's trying to destroy. Because if it's figuratively, the church just doesn't fit that instance. Go back to Revelation 12. It does seem to be talking about a literal birth and a literal person. Look at verse number 5. Whoever this woman is in Revelation 12, and she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his... Now, who has a throne in heaven that was caught up to heaven? Is there a lot of options of who that might be? Was that Muhammad? No. Was that Krishna? No. No, it's Jesus Christ. Y'all say amen to that? A rod of iron, a throne in heaven, his throne. He was caught up. Elijah got caught up to heaven, not with a rod of iron to rule the nations. He was born to rule the nations? That sounds like Isaiah 9:6, doesn't it? For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Who do you think the us is in Isaiah chapter 9 where that comes from? Israel. Because it goes on to say, the government shall be upon his shoulders, and of the throne of David his government shall have no end. So I would say, okay, now we're getting down to figuring this out. This is Jesus is the one who the child is. So now, who's the lady that has Jesus? And now you're like, whoa, that's got to be Mary. Well, let's look at it a little closer. Verse number 12 says, she's clothed with the sun, the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. Now, there's probably some images of Mary in Catholicism with a sun around her and with crowns. I didn't pop up any pictures, but if you Google it while I'm preaching, don't do that, but if you did, you might be able to find a few images with that in it. But I wouldn't look for the images that man makes to define the Bible description. I would look at if there's any images in the Bible that would help us define the description. Does that make sense? So if it's mentioned here, let's go back, look at Genesis 37. Let's go back and see an image in the Old Testament and see what the Bible tells us about it. Genesis 37. We'll start in verse 1. Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was a son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And you know who his mother was, right? You know who Joseph's mother was? Rachel. And that was the one he worked 7 years for and went to marry and opened up the veil. That's why we're against veils in the Baptist church, amen? I'm just teasing. But open up the veil, and it's not Rachel, it's Leah. What's going on? And Laban said, you can't marry my younger daughter before you marry the older daughter. And so then he worked 7 more years and then ended up working even 6 or so more years after that. So Rachel is the lady that he fell in love with, and he had 2 children with, because she was unable to bear children at the beginning, had Joseph, and then she died giving birth to Benjamin. Okay? So Joseph is favored here by his father. And you can say, well, that's not right. I agree, but this is what happened. So Jacob's human, and we obviously know Jacob was not right in a lot of areas of his life. You'll say amen to that. His name means supplanter. He's the one that put goat skins on his arm to pretend like he was his brother. And you thought you had a hairy brother? Mm-hmm. Yeah, poor Esau. Anyway, Joseph, verse 5, dreamed a dream. And he told it to his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. He said unto them, hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose, and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood around about and made obeisance to my sheaf. Now, I wonder why they didn't like that dream, right? Crazy that happens like that. Verse 8, his brethren said to him, shalt thou indeed reign over us? Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his boy. Now, I don't know if Jake or if Joseph tried to interpret that dream, but his brother sure did. And they said, what do you think that dream means? We're not going to obey you. We're not going to bow down to you. Verse 9, he dreamed yet another dream and told it his brethren and said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more. Behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. What was that woman clothed with in Revelation 12? Sun, moon, and how many stars? Why is there 11? Because Joseph is the 12th, and he's got this dream that they're all bowing down to him. Look at verse 10. He told it to his father and his brethren, and his father rebuked him and said, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth? Jacob sure knew who he was in the dream, the sun and the moon, and him and his wife. And then the 12 would be the stars. So I think that the woman in Revelation 12 is a picture of the nation of Israel. And so the nation of Israel is who gave birth to the Christ child. Mary was the physical lady that God used, but Israel, and Israel is called an adulterous wife of God in the Old Testament. That's what Hosea pictures Israel as, an adulterous wife. Well, it makes sense if a wife has a child, doesn't it? Doesn't make sense if someone, a virgin who's not married yet, has a child, that the church is out. But Israel, married to God, who was the father of Jesus? Remember, Mary was overshadowed by the Holy Ghost. Not literally was there a human father, but as far as Israel's concerned, if Israel's the wife of God, you can see how that matches up. So, go back to Revelation. I'm just giving you my opinion, and it's not like I came up with it. Others have put down a bunch of study notes and paved the way, so I'm not telling you, I figured it out, I came up with... No, I didn't come up with this. I'm just repeating it for you, but I am trying to let you see who it's not. It doesn't make sense it's a church, because a church is not married to Christ yet. Mary, I can see where some may think this, but notice it says that the devil was there when the child was to be born. And then look at verse number 6. It seems like this is after that her child was caught up unto God. See verse 5. Whoever the woman is brought forth a man-child. I'm back in Revelation 12 if I lost you. Go back to Revelation. Who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. Her child was caught up unto God into his throne. Okay, well, that happened after Jesus died, right? And then 40 days later, he ascends to heaven, 10 days till the day of Pentecost. So that's afterwards. And then look what verse 6 says. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had the place prepared of God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. Did Mary run away to a wilderness for 3.5 years? Now, they did go to Egypt when Jesus was little to evade the 2-year-old infant death sentence, right, that Herod put in play. But there's no detail of it being 3.5 years, and it's not after he was caught up. That was just after he was born. So when you're looking at verse 5 and 6, seems to be this is telling us this 1,203 score days, that matches up with this last half of the tribulation, right? Hold your place here. Go to Matthew 24. Let me show you one more point of this little puzzle. Matthew 24, look at verse 15. Jesus telling his disciples about some of the signs of the coming. And he says, "When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand." I've been telling you that Daniel talks about this abomination happening halfway through the week. The halfway point of the last 7-year prophetic period of Daniel's vision. Daniel had this vision of 70 weeks of years, and 69 of them would be fulfilled when the Messiah is cut off. That's what it says. And so we've been waiting, because the last week didn't happen right when Jesus died, okay? The last week of prophecy, it didn't happen. There's a gap. And what started when Jesus died? Do you know what started when Jesus died? The church, okay? The moment Jesus died, that's when the church began. The death of Jesus signals the start of the church. Hebrews 9:16 tells you that. So the New Testament literally began when Jesus died. Now I know you're like, preacher, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, that's in the New Testament, and there's all kinds. I understand, but that's telling you the gospel leading us up to the death of Christ. The New Testament it literally begins at the death of Christ. That's what Hebrews 9 tells us. And so that 69th week ended the same moment the church began, and that's why we believe the last week will start the moment the church ends. So when the church ends, that's when that last week will begin and finish the prophecy that Daniel was given. So in Daniel's prophecy, halfway through is a big deal. Daniel 9, 25, 26, 27, you can read it. Not today, but read it. And so Jesus says, when you see that happen that Daniel talked about, look what verse 16 says. Then let them which be where at? In Judea, flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him, which is in the field, return back to take his clothes. But woe unto them that are with child, to them that give suck in those days, but pray that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, be spared. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. So, go back to Revelation, and let me put this in context. This woman that had a child that the devil can't stand and is ready to devour him, after the child was caught up to his throne, pretty agreed on that's Jesus. Look at verse 6. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she at the place prepared of God that they should feed her 1,203 days. Let me add this. And she should not get anything off the housetop. I mean, don't go back and get, if that woman has women who have children, pray it's not on a Sabbath day. It's in Judea. This is, I think, what we're talking about. Look at verse number 13 of chapter 12. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth. Well, is Mary still running around on the earth somewhere? This says that there's war in heaven. We didn't cover the verses yet. And when Satan is finally kicked out of heaven, then that's when he's really going to persecute this woman. Well, Mary's not on earth right now, okay? She's dead and gone. She buried some. There's no Mary here. This is talking about the church. Jimmy?
My Bible says Satan is cast out of heaven in war with Michael.
Yeah, those are the verses we haven't covered yet. It's in verse 7 through 10. But what it says there, look at verse 10. When he is cast out, it says, "And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation, strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night." So we get this picture that before Satan is cast out, he's the accuser of the brethren. What's Satan doing? We know he was accusing Job. Remember in the story of Job, he went up and said, "Oh, Job just serves you because you bless him so much. You take away his blessings and he won't serve." I think that we have a lawyer in heaven. I think that his name is Jesus Christ. He's called the Advocate. Why do we got a lawyer in heaven? Usually you get lawyers when you're charged with crimes. I think that the devil is accusing the brethren right now. I think we have an advocate, and Jesus says, "Oh, you want to accuse? You're going to accuse Sandy? Well, we know Sandy, but we know Sandy's Savior, Jesus. I paid for Sandy's sin. Accuse all you want. Her sin's been covered by the blood." Now, that's a little ad-libbing. I don't have a verse to tell you that scenario is taking place in heaven, but it does tell us that when we sin, in 1 John 2, "My children, if you sin, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." And what we're supposed to do is to confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So why do we have a lawyer? What charges are being thrown up? Well, I'll tell you, unfortunately, I don't know about you, but since you got saved, would there be any accusations against you since you got saved? Bryce is shaking his head. Yes, thank you, Bryce, very much. All of us would have. I mean, anybody been perfect since they got saved? And we believe that when you got saved, Jesus paid for your past, your present, and your future, but you're still living in the flesh. And so that's the abiding that Christ is still sanctifying us while we're in the flesh. He paid for my spirit. It's saved. It's done. But I still need mercy. And there might be a time when God says, "Okay, come on home to heaven. You've had enough. You've had enough rope, and now it's time to pull you back in." this picture here, this woman, she's being persecuted by the devil. I'm telling you, that's still in the future. I believe the devil right now has access to go into heaven and to accuse us. That we see that from Job. There's not been a time when Satan is kicked out of heaven, except here in Revelation 12. When we can see a fall of Satan in Isaiah 14, and that's before I think the world even was, because it says he ascended into heaven and tried to make his throne above the stars of God. I think he had a fell positionally as the covering cherub, but this is his fall geographically. In a Revelation, we'll talk about more next week, but what I'm saying is once Satan is no longer allowed in heaven, it's all on. Now he's on earth. And now, when does this happen? Halfway through the tribulation. And it's like now it's revealed that this Antichrist running around on earth, he's not the Messiah. Who is he? He is the devil incarnate. And he now puts all of his effort to destroy the woman. And how long is the woman protected? Go to Revelation 12, 13 again. And I'm almost done with this pitiful start of this chapter, okay? There's no way to get it all in a few minutes. When the dragon saw he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman, which brought forth the man-child. We're trying to identify who the woman is. I think it's Israel. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time, times, half a time, from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandment of God and have the testimony of who? So now it says the remnant of her seed. We're not talking about Mary here. We're talking about other Jesus followers. The remnant of her seed. The seed of the woman is Jesus. And the remnant are those who will still have the commands of Jesus and are trying to follow him. And when the dragon can't get her, he wants to get everyone else. And that leads us to chapter 13, which puts us right into the mark of the beast. And if you don't worship the beast, you will lose your head. So I think that this helps us identify, we're talking about the woman as Israel, and Israel is the biggest piece of the focus of prophecy in the last days. So we'll get to these verses and dissect them a little more, verses 7 through 17. But today we just got through one wonder. We got through the wonder in heaven, which is the woman. And she wore a crown. It says that a crown of 12 stars. And then there was she was with child, and she gave birth to the man child who was caught up to the throne in heaven. So if I'm identifying them, I'm going to tell you it's Israel. I'm going to tell you those 12 crowns, those are the 12 tribes of Israel. Brother Rick? Okay. 12, that represents the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, since Israel has come back to the land, is there any talk about the tribe of Judah, the tribe of Levi, of Reuben, of Simeon? There's no talk of it. Why is that? Because Isaiah 11 tells us when they do come back that there will be no Ephraim and Judah. There'll be no two split up entities of Israel. It'll be one Israel, and you don't even hear about it. You don't even know what the tribes, and they I don't know if they even know who they are themselves through genealogy and lineology. Maybe if they get on Ancestry.com, they can figure it out. But there's just not that identification or recognition. It's just Israel. And since 1948, one country, Israel, rebirth, reunited with their land and their religion, to a sense. And so, interesting stuff. The fellow that got saved Monday, I said, what do? If you're trying to practice Judaism, where do you sacrifice at? Well, they sacrifice on the Day of Atonement. I'm like, no, there ain't no Day of Atonement going on right now. There's no temple. You don't have no sacrifices. And you want to know why we don't do it either? Because Jesus is the sacrifice for sin. So that's how I began that conversation. If you ever talk to someone who's following Judaism, ask them about the Day of Atonement. Ask them, what do you do? How do you get your sins covered right now? And I gave them the Jewish answer, but most Jews don't have an answer for that. And that's a great place to start asking them questions. So then they start realizing, hey, what do we do? If we're following the Torah, what do we do with our sins right now? There's no sacrificing of lambs going on. Question? Yes. And he was from the tribe of Judah. And so he is called the Lamb of God, the sacrifice for all sin. And Hebrews is a great book to read to give you that picture why he fulfilled all the requirements. He's our priest after the order of Melchizedek, not from the tribe of Levi, but that's what all that goes through. So I started the Bible study by asking questions. What do you do with your sins, man? We all got sin. Jews got sins, just like Gentiles. He didn't have an answer. So once he didn't have an answer, now he would start listening more of my answers. Amen, right? As if you're going to teach someone, if they don't need you, you're not going to teach them anything. If a kid knows it all, then you ain't going to teach him anything. But when you can, if you're a teacher and someone doesn't have the answer, then they're more, I need the answer. Then they're teachable. And so that's where I started. And it was so interesting because after we got through Isaiah 53 and who Jesus is, this was the last question he had. He said, well, so you're telling me Jesus is God, but all my Old Testament tells me we're to worship one God. So you're going to tell me there's three gods? And I said, do you know Hebrew language? Do you know how it's written? Do you know the word for God, what it is in Hebrew? And I'm asking these questions because I don't think he knows the answer. And I said, your word in the Hebrew Bible that we translate God is Elohim. Do you know what that I am does with any Hebrew word? When you put an I am at the end of any Hebrew word, he said, it makes it plural. And I said, so your Hebrew word for God is a plural word. Did you know that? In the Hebrew Bible, whenever you find the word G-O-D, translate our English, in the Hebrew scriptures, it's Elohim. Elohim. All the Muslims call their God Allah or El, but the Jews call him Elohim. I am. Plural. God's there's a plurality in the name of God. We know why. Genesis says, let us make man in our image. That's the plurality of God. So, anyway, about that time he said, you're really good at this, aren't you? I'm like, I'm trying to be. Because if you look at it and you've got a little bit of background, then it starts making more sense. And so, anyway, this is a message about Israel in Revelation 12. Where's the church at? It's not there. That's why we're talking about Israel. And before the church, we talked about Israel a lot. And then after the church, Israel was trying to figure out how they would be part of the church. And that's the difference. So anyway, let's close in prayer and we'll have an invitation. Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you for just...